Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the blood, Lord. Thank you for the blood. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to God. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for the anointing, Lord. Thank you, guys. That was excellent. Thank you, Jesus. How many veterans are in the room? We have any people in the military? Will you please stand? Give them a hand. We're grateful for them. And also, we are just grateful for those who gave their lives. And so Pastor Deb's going to read you something. Do you need me to hold the mic for you? You're good. Okay. I'm going to read you something about Memorial Day.
I'm reading again from the American Minute by William Federer. There's these one-page deals. This is just an excellent book, so concise and full of such goodness. May 30th. Southern women scattered spring flowers on the graves of both the Northern and the Southern soldiers who died during the Civil War. This was the origin of Memorial Day, which in 1868 was set on May 30th. In 1968, it was moved to the last Monday in May. From the Spanish-American War to World Wars I and II, Korea, Vietnam, Desert Storm, war against Islamic terror, up through the present, all who gave their lives to preserve America's freedom are honored on Memorial Day. Beginning in 1921, every president placed a wreath on the tomb of the unknown soldier, which is guarded 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. The number 21 being the highest salute, the sentry takes 21 steps, faces the tomb for 21 seconds, turns and pauses 21 seconds, then retraces his steps. Inscribed on the tomb is the phrase, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." In his 1923 memorial address, President Calvin Coolidge stated, quote, "There can be no peace with the forces of evil. Peace comes only through the establishment of the supremacy of the forces of good. That way lies through sacrifice. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
How many of you have been to the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? We see. Isn't it wonderful? It is so you can feel the honor just in the atmosphere there. It's just so wonderful. And we watch them change their guards, whatever you call it, how many of you actually, have you seen anything on it or read everything? I mean, they have to be totally dressed perfect. You can't have been someone who cussed.
Yeah.
Or drink alcohol to do that job. You're totally out if you've ever said a cuss word. Yeah. I mean, they have someone check the soldier out. You have to be perfect to guard that tomb.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful thing. You can see that each soldier walked in the same footprint on the ground. Mm-hmm. You should go. You should go and see it. It's amazing. Praise the Lord. Well, let's receive our offering today. Let's go to John 6:1. God is good. We got families traveling this morning, as you can see. They're out traveling the world today, so praise the Lord. I think Lizzie and Kevin are on a road trip, aren't they? And, of course, the Schaefers have gone to Florida, and I don't know. It's too long to tell you where everybody is. Hernandezes are at the coast. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a time of year people start going on vacation, and we bless them. Vacation is fun. Amen. Yes. All right, John 6:1. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. How many of you have been there? Did you dance out on the boat? It was fun, wasn't it? It's so cool. Did you do it? Got out there with the Jewish people and on that boat and did a dance. That was so cool. All right. Then the great multitudes followed him because they saw his signs, which he performed on those who were diseased. And he went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Then Jesus lifted up his eyes, seeing a great multitude coming toward him, said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Peter answered, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, and every one of them may have a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Then Jesus said, "Make the people sit down." Remember that. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. The men, 5,000, so there were probably triple that. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to the disciples. So he gave it to the disciples, and the disciples gave it to those sitting down. And likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remained, so that nothing is lost." Therefore they gathered them up, and filled 12 baskets. 12 baskets. Okay. With the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Now, this is a miracle story. Amen. It's talking about taking care of needs. Jesus wanted to feed the people. It's about multiplied seed, right? And it's about overflow. I want to talk to you about overflow. I was just having a conversation with the Garcias a while ago. We're seeing turnaround now. Things that were a little rough are now turning around for God's people. There's turnaround in America. There's turnaround in the church. The people are getting baptized by the thousands right now. Life is turning around. Things should be turning around for you. But what we want to do now is go to the overflow. We want things to overflow. And this is a perfect example of overflow. But I want you to notice that if you want overflow, you need some organization in life. He said, "Have them sit down," and they all sat down in places. Notice that they had to sit down and rest before they could eat. So they weren't all toiling going, "What are we going to do?" They had to sit down. They sat down in probably rank and file, all spread out there with their families ready to go. But I want you to notice something else, that the overflow did not start until the seed was given. There was no overflow until a seed was given. The baker boy had to give his bread and his fishes. And once he gave the seed, then things were set in motion. So what we see here then is obedience unlocks overflow in your life. Obedience unlocks overflow. It couldn't have happened if they hadn't gotten the fish from the boy. There would have been nothing. Well, God could make something out of nothing. No, he already did that in Genesis. Now he takes what's here and he turns it into what it needs to be. The resources are in the earth. They're able to get to you. They're able to multiply for you. And El Shaddai could come in and change things if he needs to. But basically, the resources are here. The finances are here. The blessings are here. It's all about you being obedient and deciding what you're going to do, if you're going to be organized, if you're going to sow the seed. Amen. So it said they were filled and gathered up leftovers. That's overflow. Now, God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think. Do y'all believe that verse?
Yeah.
Then let's live in it.
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
Let's go ahead. Well, stop being all tired and grouchy.
Amen.
Stop being all, "We're tired." Come on.
Amen.
Listen, you walked or most of you walked or pushed a little in here. Hey, Barb's here. She had surgery just a few days ago.
Wow.
She's here. Amen. Now, if you can do that, you can open your mouth and decide, I am going to win.
I am.
But you don't know what I've been through. Same thing the rest of us have been through. Praise the Lord. Oh, I got that hat on. Okay. Now, so if you need a breakthrough in your life, ask the Lord to show you significant seed.
Yes.
What is the seed that you need that is significant? If you're in the habit of giving a dollar over every time we receive an offering, you might want to ask the Lord about that. That sounds like just a habit to me. You want to ask the Lord, what do you want me to do? What do you want me to give? What part do you want me? Because you know my future. If you tell me to give $5, fine. But if you tell me to give $500, fine. Because you've got my future in mind. Significant. So the widow's mites, that why were they significant? Because she gave everything she had. See? They're like, well, I don't know if I want to do that. Well, that might be your problem. Maybe you don't really believe God. Maybe you don't really believe that the tithe rebukes the devourer. So that would mean you don't believe the Bible. Because the Bible said the tithe rebukes the devourer. So you might want to check yourself out and start believing the Bible. Because God's word is true. And if you have any doubt about it, you might want to feed yourself the Bible. So that you'll start believing the Bible. And then you'll have what it takes to be obedient to the Bible. And do what's right. Do it right because it's right. And when the Holy Spirit asks you for something, you're willing to do it because you totally trust God that He is going to bring back what you need. Well, you know, it's wonderful, Pastor, but we don't have enough to pay our bills and still give to the church. Well, here's the problem with that. That's backwards. You're putting your bills in front of God. God actually wants to pay your bills. He actually will pay your bills.
Yeah.
I'm a witness.
Yeah.
I didn't do this by myself. I was walking through some store yesterday. We were in Deb was shopping. I was following her around because I've already shopped. I was looking. I did get a Columbia t-shirt. But Deb was shopping for some stuff. And I thought, God, I can buy anything in this mall I want to. What? Does that shock y'all that I would say that? I'm praising God for that.
Yeah.
That's how you want to live. Now, do I buy everything in the mall? No, I don't care about it. But this is how we should live. This is how we should live so that if we wanted to buy somebody else something in the mall,
yeah,
we could take them and buy somebody else something.
Yeah.
You know how I got to this point? I know I'm using myself as a testimony. I started tithing. And then whenever money would come in, I would say, is this seed or bread, Lord? And we worked, and we're still working.
Mm-hmm.
You get a job and you work, sure, that's right, and you do it right, you do your job right. You show up, and consistency lies the power. That's what organization is about. All these things roll in here. But I'm telling you, if you will become a giver, if you're a tither and a giver, you will never outlive God. You'll live good. The Lord will be your shepherd, and everything you want will come to pass. Amen. You can be debt free.
Yes.
You can have money in the bank.
Yep.
You can be able to go buy whatever you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can live with a debt free car. You can pay your bills. You don't have to go, well, I only have this much. I don't know. You know, and of course you're going to be smart. You're always going to want to watch your funds, be a good steward over them. But you'll have it to be a good steward over. Amen. Is this too hard for y'all?
No.
Y'all are a faith church.
Right.
Y'all are a giving church.
Yeah.
Come on. I'm going to tell you something. I met with somebody Wednesday night, and we're about to put a new floor all the way through the church.
Wow.
Brand new floor. It's going to be pretty. We're from the door all the way through here, brand new. And then we've got the painters coming. His name is Alex. He's going to come and fix this wall over here and fix the front. We're getting new awnings, and we're going to do something with these walls in here. They're already all on the list. Jesse's been helping me work with that. John's been helping me work with that. We're going to get it all done. It's going to take some finances.
Yeah.
We're going to do Victory by the Foot again.
Yeah, praise God.
And we're going to buy the floor by the foot.
Amen.
Hey, y'all remember Bonnie's little grandson? So when we bought this building, we did Victory by the Foot, which is going to be a whole lot less this time, but it was $60 a square foot. What was his name?
Lane.
So Lane comes in. He saved and saved. It was about that. It was like Bo. And so he saves and saves his money, and he comes in. And he gives his Victory by the Foot. And after church, he walks up and says, I want to know which foot is mine. That's the heart of God. When you see it in a young person, you see their heart. He wasn't like, they're asking me for something. No. He wanted to be a part of what God was doing. Amen. Father, we thank you for every person who's a part of what you're doing, because you're a part of what they're doing. And so we thank you, Lord, for exceeding abundant breakthrough in the lives of our people. Thank you, Lord, for showing them a significant seed to sow into victory. Thank you that they sow it above their tithe. We thank you for the breakthrough. Father, we thank you that the devourer is rebuked and the windows of heaven are open. We bless the tither, we bless the giver, and we watch the turnaround and then on up to the overflow. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Come on, brothers and sisters. Seed time and harvest is the way of the kingdom. It's always going to work that way. And you can think about anything else. Oh. If you would like to give via text message, you can text VCHL and the amount you want to give is 73256. Click the link and complete your gift. Praise the Lord. We do it God's way, church. We do it God's way. Seen it over and over where people give and their lives turn around. Over and over and over. Certainly, I have seen that in my life so many times, have given to certain things, and here comes the overflow. Here comes the push. Amen. God is good. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, let's open to Hebrews 12:1. Let everybody get settled here, because I want to tell you something important. Thank you, Jesus. Are you good? All right, this is the day that you want to make a quality decision to hear what I'm about to tell you. Yes. This is probably the most important thing I'm ever going to tell you. It's probably the most important thing. So keep yourself awake. Amen. Those of you that are watching online, stay with us. Because you're going to want to know about this. This is going to change your life. This is all about your destiny. So, Hebrews 12:1, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Running with endurance. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Now, we are working on our faith. The heavenly course begins with Jesus, and the course is completed with Jesus. He's the author and the finisher. He is the developer. Amen. He's the developer. Now, there is a word that I want to introduce into your journey, and it is the word develop. Okay? Everybody say develop.
Develop.
Now, in photography, if you develop something, it means to expose photographic material into chemicals to produce a visible image. Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the millennials may not even know what I'm talking about, because that doesn't happen today. It means to acquire something gradually, to come into being very gradually by a process. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Everybody with me?
Yes.
To change the structure of something. Now, we live in the age of social media. Now, if I step on your feet, just your toes, just go ahead and make a quality decision to forgive me right now, okay?
Right.
Got it?
Yeah.
Everybody? Okay. The age of the internet. Snap, upload, world. You can snap now, you can upload, and in microseconds, someone across the world can see what you're doing. You with me so far? Some of us here were raised in a different era. That makes some of you feel like we're dinosaurs. I mean, I was at the graduation for you two, Friday night, and the seniors came out, and the seniors that were graduating came out, and they stood out there, and the principal said, "Seniors, be seated," and I sat down. Now, I hate to admit it, but I guess I'm there. Okay. But so, some of us here were raised in a different era, and you guys, you need to listen to your grandparents and me and different people so you can get a hold of how our life was. The dinosaurs were gone. But we were raised in a pre-internet world. We didn't have the cell phones. We had bag phones and pagers, and you had to go home and listen to your messages. I hated that. Anyway, they were there. But I want you to know that this is the truth right here. God knew me. He gave me a plan for my life. He catapulted me into my destiny with Him before social media. I want you to keep that in your thinking. I actually learned to hear the voice of God and the hand of God before there was ever filtering.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen?
3 billion people are on Facebook. 2.5 billion YouTubers right now in the world. The most prominent hashtag today, and has been for the last 5 years at least, is hashtag selfie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's going to get quiet for just a minute. The world is possessed with me, myself, and I. And the Apostle Paul warned us of this. He said the people in the world would become so selfish in the end days. Self-centered. And the outworking of that is the selfie. Everybody has a new face. And this is what I'm doing. I mean, big deal. I went to get some coffee. I'm over here. I did this. I did that. Look at me. They got sticks going around.
Wow.
I was watching the scene at the Trevi Fountain in Rome. You all know the Trevi. Okay. They were bringing light, camera lights out there, and fans to blow their hair.
Yeah.
To take pictures of themselves in front of the Trevi. It's amazing to see how many people love me, not me. Me, myself, and I. Just obsessed with self. Y'all look at me. Y'all look at me. Hey, look at me. Look at me. Do y'all remember the Polaroid camera? Okay, so you guys, there was this camera. And you put film in it, and you could actually get a picture in 3 minutes. What an invention. We were so excited. I mean, you could take it and you were shaking it and getting ready. Anybody remember the Polaroid? Okay, look, see? Yeah, so the Polaroid camera, there it was. We thought that was amazing to get a picture in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
What an invention. That thing at Christmas, it was just laying those pictures out. But before that, in case you guys don't know, there was something called a 35 millimeter. Do I have a witness? Okay, I was big into it because I was a photographer when I was in my 20s and 30s. Okay, so you get this little roll of film. Have you all ever seen it? Look, they're like, maybe. Thank y'all for being my witnesses. You get this little roll of film, and you open up the camera, and you put it in there, and you pull the film out, and you click, 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 click it on. You take, and you shoot, and you shoot, and you do your best not to take a picture of the floor or the ceiling or the whatever, because you're going to take that film into the drugstore. It was a drugstore, and you were going to leave it there for a week to 10 days, and then you went back and picked it up. And that's as soon as you could be developed. But then Walgreens sped it up to 6 days. This is how we lived. There was no click, oh, look at that, oh, here, change it, oh, here, now I'm going to put someone in the picture with me, take that out, lift up the chin, do what. Okay, anyway, praise the Lord. But the process with the 35 millimeter is called what? Development. The precise and correct image would be projected on the paper. Now, in our Christian world, our life, the dark room, y'all know what dark room is? Dark room? Okay, they know dark room. The dark room for us, all that's done in a dark room with the pictures, that, hey, it takes 9 chemicals to make the process. And you can't open the door too soon. Because if you open the door too soon, I said, if you open the door too soon, you will not have the correct image. He that hath an ear, let him hear. If you open the door too soon, you will not have the correct image. In our lives, Isaiah 26:20 said it best, says, come my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you, hide yourself. This is the place of the Most High God. This is the shadow of the Almighty. Now, if you read the commentary about this chamber that God is asking you to go into, this was actually rooms in the temple. And in the temple, this is where the treasures were. Okay? All of the resources, all of the benefits, and all of the valuable things that would fit you out, get you equipped, were in those chambers. Are y'all hearing what I'm telling you? Everything in there, in that secret place, in that room, would totally fit you out to go in and do, go out and do what you need to do. Amen. In that chamber, you can see vividly. The dark room, at first everything's hazy, but then it all becomes very clear. The pictures, you know how, have you seen people do it? And then all of a sudden they go, oh, there's the picture. There they are. Everything becomes very clear. Closed places become open places in the secret place. There's a clear and right image projected. Now, this is what happens in the presence of Jesus. When it's you and Him. When it's you and Him. Jesus practiced this. He would go hide away on the mountain. He would take his disciples with him sometimes, but he taught them. He said, go to your room, close the door, pray to your Father, and your Father in heaven will reward you. Now, here's what you got to understand about that. You have to understand that something happens between you and God, and then the reward comes. Something happens when you go to the secret place, you spend time with God, there's an image that actually comes on you, and you go out and you're rewarded.
Yes.
Stay with me.
Yes.
Amen.
Somewhere along this development stage, you're transformed into the image of Jesus. He takes us into the secret place and he develops us. He projects that image onto us. But you know, now we live in a world of snap, upload equals destiny. And I'm telling you, there's no one in the body of Christ who is going to get into the fullness of their call, into their niche, or into their destiny without the process of going to the secret place. You can come here for the next 20 years and sit in here and pretend to worship and amen and repeat after us and do everything we're doing. But if you don't go to the secret place, you will not reflect the image of Jesus. You're going to get something. You're going to get some faith. But until you let Jesus reflect on you, which you can do by every time you open that book and read those words that are Jesus, they're going to reflect on you. It's the mirror. He's the mirror. When you're praying in the anointing, when you're praying in the spirit, when you're praying in the heavenly language, God is changing things on the inside of you. When you're reading the word, God is changing things on the inside of you. But it can't all be done just here at church. You've got to go to the secret place yourself and get something from God yourself.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. I've seen this. I've actually seen this. I've been doing this a long time. Young people say, I don't need to grow. I'll just grow as I go. Well, that doesn't work. Brother Hagin said it best. He said, days of preparation are never wasted. You need some days of preparation. You need some days to get ready. They're never wasted. I heard a few people say, well, you know, we went ahead and left the church because the leader wouldn't recognize our gifts. Yeah, most of us that are my age or a little younger than me, we've all heard that. Well, we went over there, but I had this gifting and the pastor just did not see it on my life. So I moved on. You're going to hear that in your lifetime somewhere, somehow, right? Church. Young people, if you settle for a man to discover you and market you, and then maybe you get put in a position, you don't have any light on the inside of you, so that image will not project to the world what needs to be projected to the world, and you won't be who you are. Think you want to be. That's what Hollywood does. They go to Hollywood and they find a manager or they sing a song or they do whatever and they get someone to say, I think they're good enough. Let me try to promote you. You don't need to be promoted in that way.
Amen.
Yeah, just walk with me through that because I know some of you are going, well, now wait. God will always make sure that the light that is in you is greater than the light that is on you.
Amen.
That's when your leader will see it.
Yeah.
Listen, with all the Christian TV, YouTube, sermons, books, churches, there's just so many people out there, they're still in darkness, their lives haven't changed. They're, people can come to Victory Church for 20 years and they're still living the same way. There's no difference. Here's your answer. Here's your answer. You want to speed things up? You want to get things moving? I'm giving you your destiny answer today. This is your answer today. Well, I thought faith was our answer. This is faith. This is the very bottom rung of faith. You and God have to be in a relationship. Yes, you want a relationship with the church. Yes, you want a relationship with the leaders. By all means, have a relationship with the people in the church. But I'm telling you, the most important relationship you'll ever have is with God Almighty in the secret place. People come to church, they get a good word, but you know. Church, listen, I'm going to tell you something. There are many gifted people in the world. Many gifted people. God loves gifted people. He does. But He doesn't need gifted people. What? Uh-uh. God doesn't need gifted people. He needs anointed people. They need to be anointed with Him. Well, I have all these gifts. Well, so what? So does everybody else in the room. Everybody has some gifts. God gave them to you. Maybe you feel like you don't have any gifts. Good, you're in a great place because then you'll just go after the anointing. I met Deb a long time ago. She was an actress, actually. She was going to Hollywood, but Jesus stopped her. But Deb could sing, Deb could dance, Deb could do all this stuff. And I admired her for that. I thought she could do all kinds of stuff. I mean, you know that Russian dance where you get down and they kick up and all that? Deb could do that. Dun, 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 dun. You know, I mean, she could do all that. I just admired Deb. She could roller skate good. She was in a modern dance group. She could do all this ethereal movement and everything. I didn't have any of that stuff. Nothing. Except I could play the drums. But I thought, man, it would just be good to have some gifting. I failed speech. I could ride a horse. All the important stuff. I could country dance and ride a horse. That's all I thought I needed anyway. Amen. Huh? Boom. So, but you know what I found out? The anointing is what made the difference in my life. The anointing. God could use me. He could use everything in me if I was anointed. Amen. Praise the Lord. God needs anointed people because people with burden removing, yoke destroying power do the job. Which, by the way, Pastor Deb has now. She gave up Hollywood and all of this. She can tap dance still. She taps in every elevator we go up in. Now if she forgets, I go, do it. Dun, dun, dun. She just starts tap dancing. Praise the Lord. Tapping for Jesus. But the anointing removes the burdens, church. And it's not just for those of us called to the fivefold. He needs anointed people. And there's only one way to get the anointing. And that is for God to get on you. A gift will fill the room. A gift will stir up people. A gift will turn people's heads. But the anointing will remove the burdens.
Yeah. That's good.
God has to be in you and projecting onto you. He needs to project Himself onto you. This is the development. And that process doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. That's what it means. It's a process. It comes by you coming to Him, and then 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 coming to Him. Keep coming to Him. Keep talking with Him. Keep going for a walk with Him. Keep praying to Him. Keep listening to Him. Keep looking at Him. Keep adoring Him. Keep praising Him. Keep worshiping Him. You need to know the voice of the Good Shepherd yourself. Amen. Well, when I get to church, maybe Pastor will give me a word and I'll know what to do. No. Those kind of words are just confirming.
Yeah.
You got to know the voice for yourself. You got to know God's voice for yourself. Well, how am I going to know if it's Him? Well, let's see. I'm going to tell you. Jesse Wallace called me. This is how she says it. Hi, Pastor. Hi, Pastor. I know it's Jesse. I absolutely know. Danny says, hello. I know their voices. The voices you hear the most are the voices you know. If you hear His voice enough, you'll know it. You'll know it. You're not going to be doing soul stuff. You're going to know it's His voice. And if you're going to know their voice, His voice, anyone's voice, you have to hear it. You have to be around them.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell you, God has used the tone of other people's voices to speak to me.
Yeah.
Pastor John, Brother Copeland, I've heard this in their inflections.
Yeah.
But I know it's God because I've learned the patterns and how He speaks to me. And if it gets a little faded, I know I better get to the secret place.
Amen?
Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for this. We all need it. Only God can develop you. You have leaders to help you. You have good teachers. You have the fivefold ministry to help you. But only God can do that developing and put that image on you. Amen. So what about building a ministry? Because some of you here are going to. What about that? That could take a lot out of you if you just said, well, I'm going to build a ministry. I'm going to build a ministry. Well, first of all, God didn't call you to build a ministry. What? No. God did not call you to build a ministry. Many people do it that way. And some of them do okay. But God said that's not what He was looking for. He's looking for you to become a person just like Him.
Oh, wow.
That's what He's looking for. He's looking for you to become that person who can love like He does, who can operate and flow and remove burdens like He does. He wants you to be like Him. Well, Pastor, you know we'll never be like Him. Oh, yeah, we already are. Yeah, but what about all our sin? Well, I think you better get unsin conscious there.
Yeah.
You're going to mess up. We're not talking about mess ups. You do mess up. You should already know what to do with that. Go to God. But the anointing will flow through you if you've been in His presence enough. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all still here? Okay. I hope this is working for you. Come to me, He said. Hide yourself. This should be your strategy. Come to Jesus, hide yourself in Jesus, and then go out. Come back to Jesus, hide yourself in Jesus, and then go out. Come to Jesus, hide yourself in Jesus, and then go out. That's exactly what Jesus does to this day. You might not know that. He goes back into the Father. And then He comes back out. Woo! I can't wait till we see that with our... Yeah. Oh, glory to God. You might see it if you got in the secret place enough now.
Yeah.
You might. Jesus told His disciples, come to me. Did He? He said, come to me. He said, let the little children come to me.
Yeah.
What's He talking about? They needed to get up on His lap.
Yeah.
They needed to play with Jesus. They needed to hug His neck. You need to get on His lap.
Yeah.
You need to hug His neck. You need to play with Jesus. You need to listen to Him. He's called you to Him. Now, as we're coming down the home trail here, let's just look at some examples. Number one example, what about John the Baptist? So John the Baptist was, when he was born, there came a time when they were going to name him. 8 days, circumcision, time to name him. Luke 1:76, I think Ronnie can put it up there. It says, this is what Zechariah, his father, prophesied over John, okay? And you, little one, shall be called a prophet of the Most High. And you shall go on before the face of the Lord to make ready his ways, to bring and give knowledge of salvation to his people and forgiveness and remission of sins, because of and through the heart of tender mercy and loving kindness of our God, a light from on high and dawn upon us and visit us to shine upon and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to direct and guide our feet in a straight line into the way of peace. And the little boy grew and became strong in spirit, and he was in the desert, in the wilderness, until the day of his appearing. Got that? He was in the wilderness until the day of his appearing, the commencement of his public ministry. Sometimes God will hide prophets. Yep. Sometimes they'll hide them for 20, 25 years before they ever come into their flow. And he's working on them. He's moving with them. Same thing with other people. Same thing with what you're being called to. So he went out on the backside of the desert. And Jesus said this about John. He said John was the greatest prophet. Why was John the greatest prophet? Because no one ever did what he did. He built a road for Jesus to come out on. He cut a path. He's the voice of one crying in the wilderness. No one had ever done that on the earth in that way. And so he had to get what it took while he's out in the wilderness working with God. He had to get what it took to be able to produce what it needs to produce. Listen to me, thermostats. If you're going to produce what you need to produce in prayer, you are absolutely going to have to spend time yourself, not just with us when we're praying 4 days a week. You're going to have to spend some time praying yourself so that you can produce, you can supply what needs to be supplied to get the kingdom doing what it needs to be doing in our city, in our midst, in this state. You have to do it. Praise the Lord. So that's what John did. He goes, he transforms in the desert. He developed enough. Now I want you to hear this statement. He developed enough in the process of time so that he could stand in the height of the office that God called him to. He did it. He went and he developed so much that when the call came out, he could stand in the full light of his calling. The full light. Amen. There's no way he's gonna snap, upload equals destiny. Yeah. No. Not gonna happen. Not gonna happen. God had to develop him. And you can see this all through the Bible. What about Moses? 40 years. Elijah's a good example. He spoke to a drought, and then God said, you go and hide, and when you're ready, I'll come get you. That's what he told him. You're going to Zarephath. When you're ready, I'll come get you. And so he was there for 3.5 years. And then God says, get up and come break the drought. So it took him 3.5 years to prepare, to get ready, to come and speak the words to break the drought. Wow. And you may not have thought about that. You may have just thought he was snapping and uploading and speaking. The anointing that came by 3.5 years of preparation. The Apostle Paul had a miraculous conversion. Jesus himself, if you read down in there, Jesus himself appeared to Paul. And you would just think that's just enough to get up and go full steam ahead when Jesus appears to you, and you go and you write 2/3 of the New Testament and you go do all the missions that he did. The Apostle Paul was great. Amen. But it wasn't enough. When you go and you look from the time of his conversion, different people say, real close, some say 12 years, some say 15 years, he went over into Arabia by himself, hid himself away, and received light and revelation. Well, Pastor, I don't have that kind of time. Yeah, you do. If you get busy now, I believe God will speed it up for you. Especially those of you that have been sitting in here for some years. You've already got some pretty good loaded up stuff. Now you just got to get with him and let him put that image on you. Get that anointing. Get that anointing on you. Get that anointing on you. When I was just in the traveling ministry, we would go to a hotel every week in San Marcos, Texas, and we'd preach every Tuesday. And for over a year, I did nothing but preach on the anointing. The Spirit of the Lord's upon me because he's anointed me. Anointing, anointing, church, anointing, anointing. You are anointed. You strengthen that anointing. You are a Christian. Christ means the anointed one and his anointing. You can't separate them. You want to walk in an anointing. We love your gifts. That's wonderful. But we want your anointing. And there are different anointings. One of the anointings you're wearing right now is the anointing to prosper. The blessings on you. That's the anointing to prosper. Amen. Praise the Lord. The other gift is the anointing to remove burdens and destroy yokes, to go about doing good, healing. Well, isn't that just a gift? Well, it is a gift. There are many gifts of healing, but if you're on the scene, God will use you if you've got some anointing. In fact, the old teachers used to say this, if you want God to use you, you just need two things, some anointing and some money. That's what they would say. Because then you could spiritually help people and you could physically help people.
Amen.
I would add physical strength to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Got to keep going.
Yep.
All right. So, I mean, think about that. The Apostle Paul was prepared for his call. Martin Luther said that Paul's words are so powerful that they're like hands and feet gripping your heart. Now I want to show you why. Let me show you why. This is the scripture. What made him so anointed. He said this in Philippians 3:10. For my determined purpose is... So I'm actually reading Amplified, Ronnie. For my determined purpose is that I may know him. That I may progressively become more deeply and intimately acquainted with him. Perceiving and recognizing and understanding the wonders of his person more strongly and more clearly, and that I may in that same way come to know the power outflowing from his resurrection, and that I may so share his sufferings as to be continually transformed in the spirit into his likeness, even to his death in the hope. So the Apostle Paul wasn't aiming, I saw Jesus, I'm saved now, I gotta go have a ministry. This is my dream, I'm gonna have a ministry. Da, 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 da. Better watch that attitude. Better watch it. Yes, it's your dream. It needs to be in your heart. But it's Jesus' ministry. And so what he say? He didn't say, okay, I'm running out here now. He said, no, I'm gonna know him. I saw him, he appeared to me, he told me what I'm going to do, and now I'm going to know him because he is the only way I'm going to get this done.
Yes, right.
Amen. Oh, this is so good. I hope you're getting it. He could have had going to the nations is my purpose. Healing the sick is my purpose. Raising the dead is my purpose. Miracles, signs, and wonders. But his purpose was to know God. That's what his purpose was. Know God. Because Paul knew, to the degree you know God, is the degree you'll give him out. Did you hear me? To the degree you know God is the degree you'll give him out. Now, you can fake it all you want and quote all the scriptures you want to quote to us and be this wonderful scriptorian, but we'll know right away if you have any anointing or not. You'll know if a song's anointed, won't you? Sometimes you're like, a song is just, because there was no anointing on it. That doesn't mean it was necessarily the person singing it. Might have just not been the right time for it or whatever, but you can pick it out, and sometimes it is the person singing it. Amen. That's why we want every person on a guitar, every person on a drum, every person on piano, every person using a microphone to know him. So that when they strike the chords, when they sing the song, God Almighty's coming out in an image. Well, I think I can sing. I think me. I think I can sing. Maybe Pastor Deb will let me be in the praise and worship team. That's not what it is. It's the worshipers. Yeah, you need to be able to hold pitch. We want you to be able to sing in pitch, right? But the truth is, we're all worshipers. He gets all the glory. All right. Now, so, to the degree that you know him is the degree that you're going to give him out. Fast forward to Acts 26, when Paul's talking to King Agrippa. Paul tells King Agrippa, I'm a happy man. Now look, this guy has been scourged. He has been beaten to a pulp. He has been snake bitten, shipwrecked, chased, torn up, people railing on him. He sat in prison, and in that prison, I've been there, four of us in here I know have been here, and it was not filled with clean water.
No.
It's under the ground. We crawled down in there. He stood waist deep in something, writing the New Testament. And he said, I'm a happy man. What? He could have said, man, I'm so disappointed all this stuff has happened to me. I don't know. I'm oppressed. But he said, I'm a happy man. I am a happy man. Why? Because Paul went to the hidden place. He said that he travailed that Christ might be formed in him. Church, Christ might be formed in you. That Christ would be formed in you. This is not hard. Don't go, I don't know if I can get there. Well, can you walk outside and look at the flowers and speak to God? That's your starting place. Can you pick up your Bible and read John 1:1, read one chapter? That's your starting place. Can you begin to say, hey Lord, did you see that hummingbird right there? We had a tiny hummingbird. He flew up to me the other day. And you know what the first thing out of my mouth was? Look, Lord. And the Lord was already looking. Talk to him.
Yes.
Listen to him. Listen, if you need an answer, Bill Johnson says, keep reading the Bible until he talks.
Amen.
Just keep reading, keep reading. And all of a sudden you'll go, oh. Well, it doesn't say in there who I should marry. Keep reading. Well, it doesn't say where I'm supposed to work. Keep reading. Well, it doesn't say what I should. Keep reading. Just keep reading. Keep reading. Keep talking. Keep praying. Keep worshiping. You're going to hear that voice. You're going to get that image. I don't know how to forgive. I mean, they made me so bad. Keep reading. Keep talking. It's going to happen to you. I don't know how we're going to get out of this trouble. Keep reading. Keep reading. He said he would do it. All right, this is the last one. David. Samuel went to go anoint the king. The Lord told Samuel, don't look at the appearance, remember? Yeah. Don't look at the appearance.
Yeah.
So everyone thought the firstborn would be the king, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Everyone thought a certain someone would come to a position.
Yeah.
What, you mean they came to do it? Uh-huh. Well, interesting. Okay. So the Lord sees not as a man sees. God looks at the heart. So, you know, David's whole family possibly were a bit of an outcast because he had Moabite blood. You know, y'all know that? Ruth was his great-great-grandmother. Now, to me, someone said that David was the outcast in his family, but I would have to say the whole family because Jesse was born of Obed, who was born of Boaz. And so Ruth was David's great-great-grandmother. So I would say the whole family. In fact, right after David was born, the Sanhedrin made a law that said anyone who had Moabite blood, it cannot rule. Well, that kind of went down the tubes, didn't it? All right. So what did they do with David? They put him out to pasture. So he had to go out and develop sheep. And so he's totally rejected. And now here's someone unappreciated, unapplauded, nobody noticed him. Unappreciated, unapplauded, nobody noticed him. And the Lord said, yep, that one. Take that one. Wow. What? Yeah, I'll take that one. Okay. So Samuel anoints him right there. He's anointed. He's anointed to be king right there. Samuel went home. God anointed him king. But interesting, it wasn't a snap, upload, destiny. It wasn't a snap, upload, hashtag, king.
That's good.
I'm king now. They say this. Get the camera. He had some humility for one thing. And he went back to the sheep. 20 years. 20 years later, he's out there with the sheep. But what could he do out there? How is he learning to be a king out there? He out there in the green pastures and still waters. What's going on with that? He had not one thought of receiving a Grammy. Didn't care about a Dove Award. His Dove Award was the Holy Ghost. He was looking for a relationship with God, church, because God knows all about being a king. He knows all of the protocol. He's really good at it. David is actually being marked by God out there. God imprints this man over and over and over and over. And maybe you're sitting in a place right now and you think you see that your destiny is so much more, but you go to church over and over and over and you go to work over and over and over and you're doing these things over and over and you're praying over and over and you're worshiping over and over and God is imprinting you over and over and you're going to get there and you're going to step out in that anointing. And everyone will know you're anointed. And if you know anything about David, the Bible says the whole earthly kingdom will be set up and established by the same way it was done by David. That's coming. They're going to use that. We already use the worship, right?
Right.
Yeah. Y'all here?
Yeah.
Yeah. How he worshiped the tabernacle of David, that's exactly what the charismatic people do, are supposed to do. I know some of y'all are just faking it. But anyway, that's what you're supposed to do. I mean, when we're standing right here and we're worshiping God, we're not going, oh, I hope nobody's looking at me. That's pride. That's the time to look straight ahead. So I asked a couple of the people, what's going on in the audience while y'all are worshiping God? And two of them said, I'm not looking at them. Good answer. Good answer. Busy doing fathers, busy worshiping. We don't care what you look like when you're doing it. You can do this. You can do this. Just worship God.
Yeah.
You can sing. You should have never sat behind me because now I know. No, I won't mess with you. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. He worships God. Praise God. It's better than standing there with your hands in your pocket going, oh, nobody can hear me. We don't care if you raise your hands. Just worship God. We don't care if you whisper. Just worship God. Nobody's paying attention to you. This is a family. We're not in, just worship God so that you can have the time with us and then do that when you're at home. This girl right here will worship God publicly. She doesn't care. She'll get out right in the middle of everybody. She doesn't care about who's looking at her. She cares about God looking at her. God's imprinting every time she does it. Every single time. I hope you're getting this because I'm about to close and I'm going to walk away and say what Brother Copeland says about it. God and David are in the secret place. God is developing David to become who he already is.
Amen.
Who he already is. That's who you already are, somebody from the womb. Before the womb. God knew before the foundation of the world, he knew. Well, I feel like I'm in a stagnant place. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming to him. Keep coming. Not just coming to church. Come to church. And by all means, don't say, well, I'm going to stay home and worship God on church night. No, come do it corporately. Stay with him. You'll get that job. You'll get that destiny. You'll get that house. You'll get that land. You'll get your calling, which is more important than anything else that I said. Look, to God, you're only here on this earth for about 2 hours. I heard Keith Moore say that this morning. So for us, we only got an hour left. What are we going to do with it? Life in God is good. I did the other way. I did it. I wasted a few years. I did the pool hall stuff and all that. And we're just going to party and have fun and be entrepreneurs and make a lot of money. And I already did all that. It's not at all like this. This is awesome. Favor. One day of favor is worth 1,000 days of labor. Answering your call. Well, I feel like I need to answer my call, but I don't know how to do it. You don't need to know how. Just keep coming to him, coming to him, coming to him. And somebody's going to circle your name in red and you're going to do it. And it won't be because they market you. It'll be because the anointing and the anointing of favor gets you where you need to be.
That's right.
Well, Pastor, you know I love marketing. Well, then you better do it in the anointing.
Amen. Yeah.
Marketing can be good, but it better be something that flows from the anointing if you're a Christian.
True.
Am I right, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm trying to close. It's just very interesting about God. Because he doesn't need anyone to find you. When it's your appointed time. He doesn't need anyone to find you. Now, having said that, I will tell you, I'm all about apostolic and about your leader sending you out. Because you need to be covered or have a platform under you, whichever way you like to say it. You need to have someone's approval because of accountability. You need accountability. You don't want to be a free-range chicken out there. You know what I mean. You don't want to just be alone. That's not a good thing. You need to be tied in with someone. So you do want leaders to recognize you, but I'm telling you, they will.
Yeah.
If you don't try to prove how smart you are and how good you are and look how good I can do this and me, myself, and I, snap, upload, destiny, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. For all of you that think I'm telling you that it's going to be years and years and years, I'm not telling you that. I'm telling you that's what it took them.
Right.
I don't know how fast it can happen to you, but I'm telling you it is going to take relationship time. And some of us, we've been together for many, there's people here that we've been together for 20 years. I know them a little better than I know some of you. Others, I've known these guys since they were babies. I'm like your grandma. But you have to take time to know God so he can imprint on you, church. He wants to imprint something on you. Well, I'm a late starter. Well, just get busy, because you're going to find out he'll catch you up. He'll catch you up. All right. If God needs you, he can find you. This is a lesson for all of us, and we need this lesson. We cannot stop and stagnate because you're a senior citizen, people. We cannot stop and stagnate because we think we know it all. Amen. Oh, I heard that sermon. Well, I know they're going to talk about believing and speaking. Well, I heard that. Well, I know faith works, but well, I already know that. Well, I already know that. That tells me right there, you don't know much. Glory to God. We need times where we just spend time with God alone and together. Alone and together. That way, when you say to me, what's God been telling you? I've got something to tell you because it's already in there. Preachers should preach from overflow, not from notes. I preach from notes. You know what I mean by that. Just from going back and digging. You should preach from an overflow. Amen. Well, I'll do number 9 this week. Well, if the Holy Ghost tells you to go back, and I go back and read my messages, and I'll pull stuff out of them because I'm a pastor and I have to do stuff over and over. But at the same time, you want fresh on that every time. Well, you want fresh on your prayers. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a good prayer, but you want to be able to pray something else too. What God is saying. Y'all received this tonight? Yeah. Received this today? We didn't go into the night. Oh, praise the Lord. Right in time. Spend some time with God. I want to be who God wants me to be. Amen. You're like, okay, how old are you, Avery? Okay, Avery's 16 and I'm... I'm going to be 70 years old this summer. Isn't she loved? Now, I'm kidding. You are lovely. Well, you're 18? Okay. 18, 70. When you're my age, and I'll be in heaven by then, you're going to be just as hungry or more than you are now. And I am now. Did you know that I'm as hungry or even more hungry than you are right now? Yeah. Are you hearing me, old people? Yeah. You need to be hungry now. Yeah. This isn't about life going home and watching Wheel. Yeah. Although that was Brother Hagin's favorite show. He loved Wheel. That's probably the only TV he ever turned on. But he knew his Bible and he knew Jesus. I want you to know Jesus for yourself. Here's yourself. Well, I want to prophesy too. Well, if that's your gifting, it'll come out. The Bible says to seek prophecy. That's the main one it says, actually, in the Word. Did y'all know that? Well, I don't know if I want to talk in tongues. Church, tongues is the most, because it's stealth. The enemy does not know what you're saying. And God can say things that you're going to interpret later that you needed to say in the spirit realm. So don't just get into yabba-dabba-doo. Just keep going till you're speaking and flowing. And you don't have to have a perfect language. Just pray the heavenly prayers that God gives you. Change your life forever. Worship God in your house. Let's stand up. Praise the Lord. You received this today?
Yes.
I'm telling you, this is a perfect graduation speech. Isn't it? This is a perfect speech. I say, it's not because I gave it, but this is the best one God gave you all week. Because to know Him, He'll do everything for you. You can pass classes and pass, jump over stuff and even avoid traffic tickets. Not that I've had to. Today. I came over the hill at the Catholic Church. When we go by there, Deb prays for every church. Lord, for the Catholics. Lord, for the Presbyterians. Lord, for the Episcopals. Lord, for the Rock people. Lord, she prays over all of them that's going down there. I came barreling over that hill about 5 years ago. And Sergeant pulled me over. He said, well, you were speeding right here. And I said, yes. And he said, let me see your license. I'll be right back. I thought, okay, I haven't had a ticket in years. I mean, last time I probably had a ticket, I was boogieing out in West Texas and hiding things when the cop got to the car, you know, stuff like that. So, hey, we all came from somewhere, okay? I told you I had some bad old days. But here was the hard thing about this. He walks back up to the window and says, Miss Alexander? I said, yes, sir. He said, are you the representative for Victory Church? I've never gotten a ticket since then. That's why Miss Deb has time to pray for every person on that street, because we're going 45. Amen. Do what's right. Do it right because it's right. Amen. God is good. Father, we pray for the internet audience. We pray that they'll come into you, Lord. Yes. That they'll spend time with you in the secret place. Come to him over and over and over and over and over again. Be with him. This is what's going to put you into your destiny. You're coming into your anointed destiny. God loves you. We love you. Stay in victory. Bye bye. Praise the Lord. God is good.
All the time.
We can do this. You can do this. Stop and take time. Practice when you feel your phone blink, not picking it up once.
That's good.
Oh, you know, we're all sitting at the lunch table. No, we don't do that. You know, we talk to each other. Practice it. But especially when you're alone and you're going to do something with God, you can put that thing down. You don't have to be snap upload. Check yourself out about Facebook. Check yourself out about that. Is that your place to promote yourself to the world? You might want to think about that. You might want to check your heart out about that. Maybe that's why God hasn't promoted you, because you're busy promoting yourself. And whatever you do yourself, he won't do. It's the truth. He's like, oh, they don't want help. Now look, I'm not against it. I have a Facebook account. Yeah. I do thermostats and Victory Church leadership. And sometimes I put like and love on y'all's pictures, and they're so sweet. And it's just, I'm not knocking it. We use it.
Yeah. Yep.
Use it. It's the principle of it to use it. You want to do that. I'm not knocking it. But what I'm telling you is just be mindful that you don't begin to let that. If you see it beginning to be the outcropping of yourself, you want to watch out. You want to be mindful. And you could do that with many things. Just because we lived with the dinosaurs doesn't mean we didn't have to deal with stuff. We dealt with stuff too. We did. Amen. In my day, so in your day, you just text or you call Avery, right? So in my day, I sat out on the front porch while the boys drove by. And some of the same ones would drive by every 10 minutes. So I could choose. Yes. I'm not kidding. That's what we all did. And then there's these group of boys, the bad boys. They thought they were cool because they could do what we call pill out. Anybody ever heard of pilling out? Peel out, because they can around the corner. Like, I'm so cool. I'm cool. But I ended up getting in the truck and going to the rodeo. So, praise the Lord with those guys. God is good. God is, huh?
I used to peel out.
You peeled out? Yeah. Okay. My mom would say, they're leaving their tires on the road.
He got saved.
He got saved. He peeled out. How many of y'all peeled out? Anybody else? Oh, look. Oh, Joy peeled out. Go out and do donuts in the field and yeah, look straight ahead. Everybody in here on that one. I know you did it.
I couldn't afford
new
tires.
What? I couldn't afford new tires. You didn't want to peel out. You had your tires. You got to take it easy on these. Praise the Lord. God was good. So, you know, I mean, my dad said, now it's time to get a car. You're going to get a Nova. Anybody remember Nova? Well, they were not cool in those days. What'd you have? What was your car? It was something anyway. Well, so a Dart. So some of those cars got cool after a while, but the Nova, I was like, no, Daddy, no, Daddy. So I went to the car store myself, and I got, now this was hot, I got a 442 Oldsmobile. Yeah. So my boyfriends loved that car. They're like, this car, let me drive your car. I'm so excited. It was fun. What does this have to do with today? Nothing. We need to go home. Father, we thank you that we're the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. Blessing is overtaking us today. We're blessed in the siddle. We're blessed in the field. Everything we put our hands to do prospers. And Father dear, as we go out of here, we thank you that we are no longer victims, but victors. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Love you guys. See you Wednesday.